again today to go through and replow this ground, so to speak, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to speak up from my heart regarding the coming storm. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. It says, in the last days, perilous times will come. In Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. And there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth, the distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Amen. Then in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 5 through 8, Jesus said, answering them, began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Research in the field of biblical prophecy reveals that there's 1,064 passages in the Bible regarding future events or prophetic events. There's 737 such passages in the Old Testament and 327 such passages talking about the future in the New Testament. Do you realize that 68% of the entire Word of God is dealing with prophetic or future events? Because God wants us to understand and to know and to have a plan in our hearts as He has a plan for us. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means prophecy is given by the Holy Spirit on men's hearts and minds and souls to pen the words that we have today as the Holy Word of God. We understand that the Bible, the Word of God, is clearly telling us that in the last days there will be troubling times and that things will not be getting better. That's what the Word of God tells us, isn't it? Isn't that what we just read? That kind of goes against the grain of us in America. We're thinking things are always going to somehow get better. But the Bible tells clearly that they're not getting better, that the foundation and moorings of this world, all that gives a sense of well-being, will begin to crumble. And it will. 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, our 45th president took the oath of office in November 2016. That oath of office was celebrated and it was also protested. There was an extreme difference of opinion regarding our current president. It brought about a degree of political upheaval and political storm unlike anything we have ever seen in the last 150 years of this country. By the way, speaking of storms, in Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 42, it gives the account of the storm that Paul and those on his ship went through. It was a terrible storm. It was a great storm that destroyed their ship. It destroyed all of the things that they were counting on. The ship, the anchors, the mooring, the little skips to get out, everything, the food, everything they were counting on. God destroyed all of it, and all they had left was to trust in God and to believe what Paul had said. Remember Paul's words. He said, men, God has told me that everyone will be spared. And as you know, that ship continued forward and it crashed right on the edge of the island of Malta, and everybody on that ship was saved. I believe a storm is coming to this world. I believe a storm is coming to America. A storm that will give us the opportunity to prove that our gospel is true, and an opportunity to have the greatest harvest we have ever seen. Recently, a local weatherman said it very well. He was predicting a storm that was coming through with high winds, and he said these words. He says, the storm that's coming through is going to wake you up. Can I tell you that the spiritual storm that I'm speaking of today, it's going to wake us up spiritually. The political upheaval, the political upheaval that we're experiencing in America today, it may be the last reprieve to just buy us a little time. It may be that last opportunity for us as Americans to bring about that message of the gospel and the message of repentance. I'll tell you, our current president, he's no saint, I understand that. He certainly has his flaws. He's certainly not the savior of America. He's certainly not going to save America from her sin. But I will tell you this, that man has stood for a couple of issues that I believe are very strong for us as Christians. He has stood for religious liberty. He has stood for religious freedom. He has stood against those voices that would silence preaching from the pulpits and silence opinions because we express the Word of God that's contrary to our culture regarding same-sex marriage and abortion, and you could go on down the list. This president has stood against abortion. He is a pro-life president. He has stood for religious liberty. And just for those issues alone and those positions, in my opinion, make his election a victory for those issues that we embrace as Christian believers. I will tell you that the storm, the political upheaval that's just begun, we are in the midst of that storm. And you think about the folks that were on Paul's ship, they would never have made it. It had not been someone there to lead them to true repentance. Isn't that true? If it hadn't been for Paul and his prayers to lead those men on that ship to true repentance. I'll tell you this, they found a safe harbor, didn't they? We may be going through a storm very soon, but I can assure you, God is going to make available for you and me a safe harbor. He's going to be with us. That storm that we looked at in the book of Acts, it didn't relent, it didn't stop until all hope was gone. Until all hope was gone, and then the storm, when the people realized they had to just trust in God. Can I tell you today, there's no other answer for the world. There's no other answer for our lives, for our situations, or the storm that we may see. There is no other answer but to trust in God with all of our hearts, to stay close to Jesus, to let His faith grow and be with us through the storm that is coming. It's a spiritual storm, by the way. It's a spiritual storm that demands a spiritual response. Storms remind me of the story of Jonah. God sent preaching for salvation before He sent a storm of judgment. It shows what can happen if folks respond to God's message of grace and love and forgiveness. The owner of the ship and the majority of the men on that ship with Paul, they ignored Paul initially, didn't they? They ignored Paul, just like our culture is ignoring the good news of Jesus Christ today. And they are. They're ignoring everything that's biblical. They're ignoring everything that's righteous. They're ignoring everything that's holy. They're ignoring everything that lifts up the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 27, Paul said these words, I urge you. He says, I urge you to keep up your courage. Because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the Lord, who's an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God will graciously give you the lives of all who sail with you. What a great word Paul had. Do not be afraid. Let me tell you, church. You can say, well, this sounds like a really negative message. Do not be afraid of a coming storm. Not only will Christians and the church survive, I believe the church will thrive. As the church stands trial before the world as a witness of who Jesus Christ is and His truth and His gospel. It seems to me a powerful storm can be seen as a gift from God. A storm that brings about badly needed revelation and repentance. That brings about perhaps a new lens, so to speak, so that we can see life and eternity and the answers to prayer through the lens of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the coming storm has the potential to change millions of hearts in this nation, and that America could experience an incredible revival unlike anything America has ever seen because of the storm. Because of the storm. I believe in a great revival in America that may be a result of that storm that would cause America to throw over the LGBTQ initiative and other sinful cultural advances, same-sex marriage, abortion, this ideal that folks don't even need to pay attention to the sacredness and the sanctimony of intimacy between a man and a woman only being between the bonds of marriage. Our culture turns their back on all of those values. But I believe in a revival, in a storm that will bring about people saying, I trust God, I trust Jesus, and I believe in His Word. By the way, when we speak of a storm, I'm not up here telling everybody, I'm not selling anything, first of all. I'm not going to end the sermon with, now here's some stuff you need to buy, okay? That's not what this is about. I'm not up here telling you that you need to start burying your money in the backyard and hoarding groceries and building shelters. I'm trying to say that we should, with our hearts, begin to thank God that He's going to give us an opportunity and a window to share the gospel unlike any window we have ever had. And the question is, will we be ready? Will we be bold enough? Will we be prepared to go out and share the good news of Christ in the midst of what could be a time of great fear and uncertainty? I pray that God's anointing will be on us even more powerful than it was on Jonah, that will bring about the repentance of America. It'll bring about, I think, the greatest revival. It has the potential to be the greatest revival this country has ever had. Oh, how much we need it. Amen. We must stay engaged. We must stay connected to Jesus. Oh, we must keep our hearts close to God. We must be a bold witness to share the good news that brings about tearful repentance and folks publicly acknowledging that Jesus is our Savior. Church, I implore you today, pray for this country. Pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for God's power and anointing to change hearts. As an American, I think Christians in America have been guilty of thinking that the Word of God, yes, provides very troubling and disturbing descriptions of what the world will be like before the return of Christ, before the beginning of the tribulation period. And we've read those scriptures today. But so many Christians in America, somehow I think we fall into this trap of thinking, well, because we've been in America, because God's blessed us so much, because things have been so wonderful, that we've had such great favor from God, that we probably will be exempt from the incredible upheaval and the turmoil that's going to come in the world in the last days that Scripture has talked to us about. This turmoil, by the way, that I'm speaking of, that comes upon the world, is before the rapture of the church. It's before the 7 years of the great tribulation. But it's described, as we've read in the scriptures there, these are the beginning of sorrows. It's just the beginning of the great catastrophe that comes on the world during the great tribulation. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 7, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Do you understand that? In Luke's Gospel, it says, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, then they will see the Son of Man coming. Things will be shaken. There will be trouble, but there's a promise there. It says, then that Jesus is coming back, the rapture of the church will occur, and we'll go and meet Him and be with Him forever. Amen. America will not escape the turmoil and the upheaval. America will not escape the beginning of sorrows. In fact, if you look at our country today, we murder over 1 million innocent unborn babies every year. We celebrate homosexual unions as marriage. We do say nothing against the immorality that is pervasive in our culture, in society. I believe that America will feel it when the Word of God says that the powers of heaven will bring about a shaking on this earth. We will go through that here in this country. Pastor, what are you saying? Look at these next words on this next PowerPoint. I'm saying that we're approaching a season like none ever seen on this earth or in this country that will occur prior to the tribulation. Everything that gives security, comfort, assurance, our income, our food, our water, our investments, our savings, our pensions, the reasonable tranquility of our communities, life as we have known it, will begin to crumble. I know that's not a positive message, but from my heart, I am telling you this is what the Word of God warns us and tries to tell us. In Luke's Gospel, again, in chapter 21, and there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the distress of nations, perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Jesus tells us, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Do you understand what God is telling us? The Bible tells us that God spared not the angels that sinned. He's not going to spare the sinners on this earth if He spared not the angels. Quickly, 3 points today, very quick 3 points. Number one, the pattern of the judgment of God in the past. Look at my time. I know you're looking at it. It says 5 till 12. Will y'all give me an extra 5 minutes today? God punished the first sin on earth. Adam and Eve sinned. As a result of their sin, sin and the dominion of sin created the curse on the earth. They were expelled from the garden. They were expelled from God's presence. God punished the wickedness of the earth with the flood. The Bible says that He saw that the wickedness covered the entire earth. Everyone was destroyed because of their wickedness, but except for the family of Noah. God's judgment was certain. God squelched the rebellion and the sin at the Tower of Babel. Just 100 years after the flood, man had fallen into a great state of sin again. And God came and dispersed all of those folks, gave them all different languages so that they wouldn't all be together and create such evil. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, a city that was full of homosexual, pervasive, sinful activity. And the Word of God says that God rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. So He overthrew those cities all in the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. God even punished His own people, the Jews. The Bible teaches us that when the sins of the Jews had filled up the full measure of the cup of wrath, that God poured it out upon their heads. A great, great event occurred after the crucifixion of Jesus. The cup of God's wrath had been filled because of what the Jews had done to kill Christ. And the prophecy was very clear of the Roman legions that would come and destroy the city of Jerusalem. And just roughly 40 years after the death of Christ, just after 40 years after His death, that whole city was completely destroyed by the Romans because of God's judgment that came upon them. So there's a pattern of judgment that He shows us in His Word. Isn't that correct? We understand that His judgment is certain and true. The second point this morning is God always spares His own. Praise God. We can say hallelujah for that. Amen. He spared Noah and his family. He spared Lot and his family. He spared Rahab and her family when the enemy came in to take over that city. And we praise God, the enemy. I meant that those Jews that came in to take over the promised land, they were the enemies of those Palestinians, of course. God spared the Christians in Jerusalem in 70 AD when the Romans came over to take over all of Jerusalem. They remembered the words of Jesus. The Christians did. He said, when this happens, he said, those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. The historian Josephus writes that upon the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD, that the Roman army thought that the Egyptians were coming to help fight against the Roman army. And so they let up on the siege of the city for a temporary period of time. During that temporary letting up of the siege, the Christians remembered the words of Jesus and they escaped from the city into the mountains. History tells us over 100,000 Jews were killed in Jerusalem by the Roman army when that army came back, when they realized there were no Egyptian army coming to help out, and they laid siege to that city. They killed over 100,000, but not a single Christian was killed because they remembered and believed the words of Jesus. And they got out of that place. God always spares His own, doesn't He? 2 Peter 2:9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So we've looked at God's pattern of judgment. We've examined that God always spares His own. And the third point today, it will happen. Please hear me, it will happen. Malachi 3:6 declares, for I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Peter referenced the flood in the third chapter of 2 Peter, and he stated, the heavens and the earth are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. One of our scripture texts was in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. In that scripture text, it speaks to this word that says, there will be utterly lacking in gratitude and purity and normal human affections. That's true today, isn't it? That there will be unprincipled and passionate and treacherous and self-willed and conceited, loving all the time what gives them pleasure instead of loving God. Does that describe this country today? Absolutely it does. They will maintain a facade of religion, but their conduct will deny its validity. You must keep clear of people like this. It is a very clear and specific description of what this country is like today, what America is like today. We must remember that in the ages past, there was judgment, but God spared His own. And can I say it again? It says it will happen again, because it will, church. It will happen again. I believe that the early labor pains of God's coming judgment on this earth, I believe those early labor pains are at hand. And that we will see them even in this great country, even in America. All that is foretold in Holy Scripture that we went through at the beginning of this sermon. Look at these words again in Luke 21:25-28. It says, and there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth distress, perplexity, the sea, the waves roaring, men's hearts failing, fear and expectation of those things are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Look at verse 28. Now when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your head. Don't look at all the stuff that's going on. Just know that Jesus is with you. Look up, lift up your head, because your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming soon, is what He's saying. Don't get too caught up in all the travail that you see coming all around you. Do you understand that it will happen? It will happen before Jesus comes. Look at these next words with you on the next slide. Mark 13:5-8. Jesus answering said to them, many will come in my name. I'm he who deceive many. But when you hear the wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. When you see things all falling apart, when there's a cyber warfare, And suddenly, banks can't tell you what you got in the bank. Credit cards don't work anymore. Debit cards don't work anymore. You can't buy, you can't sell, because cyber warfare has shut the whole system down. Pastor, could that happen? Of course that could happen. When you see all these things, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. It's not yet. It's not over, what the Word of God's trying to say. Look at this next overhead, this next word up here, Brother Shaw. And there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. They're the beginning of sorrows. The Bible is giving us a very clear picture of what we will face before the rapture of the church. It's an earth that's in turmoil. It's an earth that is in conflict. And if our hope is in the things of this world, if our hope is in anything but Jesus, we're going to be disappointed. As if our hope is in anything but our Heavenly Father, we will be so full of fear. And that's why I'm preaching this message today, to prepare our minds and hearts for what God has planned, so that we won't be overcome with fear, that we'll be full of faith. We'll say, but this is what God said was going to happen. His word is true, and I know that Jesus is still faithful to me. Will we be faithful? Will we hold tight the promises of God? Will we remember that we are His own? Will we remember the words of Jesus that we've just read? Lift up your heads, your redemption draws nigh. I pray by the Holy Spirit, God, help us to remember those words and not panic, not be grow full of fear, but say, yes, come, Lord Jesus, I am ready. I'm trusting in You. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, in the fourth chapter, is the promise of the return of Christ. I've got a little different translation here. It's the J.B. Phillips translation. Listen to these words. Now, we don't want you, my brothers, to be in any doubt about those who fall asleep in death, or to grieve over them like men who have no hope. After all, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, then we can believe that God will just as surely bring with Jesus all who are asleep in Him. Here we have a definite message from the Lord. It is that those who are still living when He comes will not in any way perceive those who have previously fallen asleep. One word of command, one shout from the archangel, one blast from the trumpet of God, and the Lord Himself will come down from heaven. Those who have died in Christ will be the first to rise, and then we who are still living on the earth will be swept up with them into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and after that we shall be with Him forever. Amen. That's God's promise to us. So I conclude today by just telling you that God's trying to teach us and show us from His Word what is coming. All of our assumptions, all of our comfort, all the things that have been such great favor and blessing from God, all of those things can begin to crumble. All the things we've counted on can change dramatically. Will we be faithful? Will we see the opportunity of all those around us that are full of fear and uncertainty? Will we seize that opportunity? Will we be a bold witness to declare, I know there's an answer, and that answer is Jesus. Don't be afraid. That's our opportunity. Are you ready to take advantage of it? Are you prepared to be a witness for Christ? Are you prepared to share the gospel with those that will be so lost and so full of fear? This is why God is letting us know now that this is coming, so that we can be prepared in our hearts and souls by the power of the Holy Spirit to be a difference maker in this world before Jesus comes back. To be a part of that revival that God wants to bring to this nation, to this world. A great revival of people saying yes to Jesus. It's a sad thing, but it's a reality when you look back at what God has done in history. When there's great fear, when there's turmoil, when there's uncertainty, when there's judgment upon the land, people turn from sin and they call out to God. And it's sad to say that that might be only what it takes for some folks to finally realize the Bible is true, His Word is certain, and that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. God, help our hearts and our spirits to be ready. Help our spirits be ready to share, to be used by God. He's going to give us those opportunities. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be His hands extended in a world that's so full of fear and disaster and uncertainty that only Jesus can give us hope? And we share that hope with the world. God, help us. Amen. God, give us that in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You. God, we are so blessed. We have been so blessed in this country beyond measure, beyond anything we could ever imagine. God, we have been so satisfied to receive these blessings and to live in such great opportunities of income and comfort, having needs met. And we thank You for that. Oh, God, You're the source of all of that. But God, Your Word shows us that these things will be coming on this earth. It's the beginning of sorrows before that time of the great tribulation. God, help us in faith and in strength to keep our eyes on You. God, help us by the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to be a bold witness, to share Jesus, and to be a part of the answer in our communities. It's by Your power, by Your Word, and by Your Holy Spirit that we commit ourselves today. And we thank You, Father, for Your Word showing us the storm that is coming to this earth and how Your love and care and Your concern for us will be forever. We thank You now and we praise You in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Everybody said amen today. Amen.